From Moscow with love, this is Vasily and Natalie on Radio Sputnik. Online, on digital, AM, FM, and shortwave via WRMI in Okeechobee, Florida. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show.
Natasha, who are all these people?
Happy, happy birthday, my dear co-host. It's our fourth anniversary, and you forgot again. I knew you'd forget, so I decided to bring you a bunch of air balloons, a bottle of champagne, and invite some friends.
I hate champagne, and I have no friends. Get out of here. Get out of here. All of you, out of my studio.
Oh, that's a lot better.
Our biggest fan, Stephen Graves, says, "Laissez les bon temps rouler." Ugh. Congratulations to you both. Vas, don't you think we should celebrate?
No.
4 years together. Just think about it. We've lived through four editors-in-chief, and the radio station has changed its name three times. From the Voice of Russia to Radio VR, and now to Radio Sputnik.
And 4 years with Natasha made me start drinking again.
Nonsense. I'm keeping you in excellent form, and I've almost made a civilized man of you, though it took me a great deal of effort, patience, and love.
Really?
And still, I'm sure if we were canceled tomorrow, you would miss me as much as I would miss you.
Sometimes I wish we were canceled.
No fights and no arguments tonight, please. Let's just sit and have a nice, friendly talk.
Friendly?
Yes. Are you planning to go somewhere for Christmas and New Year holidays? After all, people in Russia have the longest holiday season in the world, practically a fortnight.
Isn't that scary?
Mm-hmm.
All those poor Russian livers.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't plan to do any major traveling during the holidays. My dacha is being renovated, so I can't go there. Apart from maybe a night or two at a suburban Moscow resort hotel, provided they have any vacancy during the holiday season. Or just a visit to a friend's dacha. I'll be relaxing in the comfort of my downtown safe house. You know, I think this is a tendency this year for many Muscovites, caused by the wonderful events taking place around us every day. What about you?
No traveling for us this time either. Johnny will be coming home from London for Christmas holidays on December 22nd and will stay with us till January 5th. Right now, we're looking for a room he could rent from January to May, but so far to no avail.
In London, you mean?
Yes, oh, sure. Okay. So I may have to go to London again before Christmas. Oh. Anyway, this year we're likely to just relax in the country with mom, my husband, my kids, and see the new year in and then celebrate Russian Christmas. I hope it will start snowing because so far we have no snow. And then Kathy and I could go skiing. And then on January 5th, Johnny's flying back to London from Domodedovo Airport.
That's the one you disliked so much during your last trip to London because of the endless lines.
Right. Oh. However, I hope it's not for long. As soon we'll have another international airport quite close to our country house.
A new international airport.
Yes.
Wow.
For me, I'm not kidding. For many years, there used to be four. Come on, listen to
this.
Why? Listen. What's the use of what?
Another international airport.
Well, just let me tell you something.
Sorry.
For many years, there used to be four airports around Moscow. Sheremetyevo, Domodedovo, Vnukovo, and Bykovo. Oh. Then, a few years ago, the oldest, smallest, and most outdated airport, Bykovo, was closed. And now we have three airports, of which Sheremetyevo is the largest and the best. Mm-hmm. However, it seems three airports are not enough for such a huge megalopolis as Moscow.
Megapolis.
And not so long ago, I read on the internet that a fourth international airport referred to as Ramport was being built near the town of Raminskoye, some 10 kilometers away from the former airfield in Bykovo. According to the newspaper Vzglyad, Ramport is expected to open in 2016, and by 2020 will cater to as many as 12 million passengers a year. The airport will be built in three stages, at the end of which Ramport will function as one of the most technically advanced cluster airports with two 30,000 square meter terminals, multi-story car parks, and a hotel. By the way, the new airport will have the longest runway in Europe, over 5 kilometers long.
How on earth are you supposed to get there?
Well, it only takes 40 minutes by express train, which will run from Kazansky Railway Station in the city center every half hour. As for me, it will take me a mere 30 minutes to get there from my dacha. I mean, from door to door, a 15-minute walk to the station, and a 15-minute ride on the commuter train.
Good for you. So many airports. Wow. I just hope it's a sign of a good sign of sorts.
And speaking of commuter trains, here's something that happened to me recently. Would you like to hear?
Hold on a sec. Let me set it up properly. It's time for Natasha's Tales from the Trains.
Aboard!
Friday night, Kathy and I were, as usual, riding a local train to the country. Hardly had we left the Kazansky station when a decently dressed middle-aged woman entered our car. She was begging for money, saying she had a child to take care of. What caught my ear was the phrase she kept repeating like an incantation. Russians, help me. I beg of you, Russians. Russians, I implore you.
That's an interesting twist.
Exactly. As she came up to me, I couldn't help asking, what if I'm not Russian? Can I still help you?
Mm-hmm.
I thought she would probably throw something at me. But she looked at me all smiles and said, of course you can. Allah be with you. I give her some money, but I'll tell you frankly, I was quite bewildered, and I still am. I don't know how to react. What was that? A new type of begging technique?
Mm-hmm.
On nationalistic grounds?
Yeah.
And if I'm not Russian, why should Allah be with me? Suppose I'm Estonian or Ukrainian.
Natasha, you know something? I think she was trying to say, you Russians are so well off compared to us. Help, help, please help.
But she was definitely Russian herself.
Sure,
okay. Absolutely. So there's absolutely no logic in what she said.
Well, then maybe she was trying the patriotic approach. Logical?
Well, what logic can you expect from a poor woman beggar when there's no logic in many things? Take, for instance, Moscow schools and kindergartens. Under no reform, schools and kindergartens are run together to form a large conglomerate headed by one principal with a dozen deputies. At the same time, each school and kindergarten in the conglomerate continues to be headed by its former principal, who is now called manager.
Oh.
But all the power within the new organization is centralized. And this means that if a school needs something like, from computers to toilet paper, the managers cannot resolve this problem on their own. They need to apply to the principal.
Oh, dear. What about your school?
We have entered one such mega formation called Pokrovskiye Vorota, translated as Pokrovskiye Gates. That's the name of the place where the organization's headquarters are situated. So we've entered this holding company alongside six other schools and three kindergartens. The reform has not improved anything, only made things more complicated. And the teacher's pay has been cut down for no apparent reason. Last year, I was paid 20,000 rubles or $500. And this year, I'm paid 15,000 for the same amount of work. And since the ruble is steadily falling, the American equivalent of my pay is now less than $300. The schools were not the only ones to suffer. The reform also spread to hospitals and outpatient clinics. My mother-in-law, who is a dentist in a children's outpatient clinic, says the number of specialists has been drastically cut, as well as the doctor's earnings. And everything is one big mess. In order to have a medical checkup, a child has now to be taken to at least four different clinics, which are located in different parts of the city. Say, the dentists work in one place, the eye doctors in another, the surgeons in the third, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the reform, many doctors have been made redundant. To make things worse, the Russian Health Ministry has curbed updating and financing the country's oncology program.
Oh.
According to MedNovosti, as of next year, the government will stop financing oncology programs from the state budget, and all expenditures on the diagnostics and treatment of oncological patients will be shouldered by territorial obligatory medical insurance funds. Now, you see, up to now, expensive drugs, treatment, and surgery used to be paid for from the state budget because we, Russian citizens, are supposed to enjoy free medical care. It's common knowledge that we're slowly but surely drifting away from it. Mm-hmm. And with time, we may have insurance medicine like, say, in the United States. But so far, what our obligatory insurance funds manage to cover is just a drop in the bucket. In other words, from now on, oncological patients will have to pay for their treatment out of their own pocket. Now, tell me, who stands to gain from the new regulations?
I don't know. I'm at a loss of words. We'll just have to wait and see. I don't know.
As for our medical workers, they seem to be at the end of their tether. Therefore, on November 30th, some 5,000 Moscow's medical workers took to the central streets of the city. The demonstrators carried various slogans from conventional, saying, "Stop destroying our health system," "Decent pay to medical workers," and "Stop sacking doctors," to creative pictures of black coffins with the words, "There was no place for me at the hospital."
This is From Moscow with Love via Radio Sputnik and WRMI. Two things caught my attention this past week. Number one, the opening of Europe's biggest shopping and recreation mall, the Avia Park. I was there, you know, yes. The first thing you notice is the size of the place. It's measured in football fields, all 36 of them.
Wow.
That's mind-boggling, exploding, whatever. There's also an aquarium. Can you imagine an aquarium that's four floors or four stories high? Can you imagine that, Natasha?
Wow. I must take my students there. They will love it.
Oh, yeah. There's also an ice skating ring, 80 restaurants, a 17-screen multiplex with seats for 4,000 people, and more than 500 stores selling everything. On the day I was there, many people appeared to be just browsing rather than purchasing, but I bought a T-shirt. To be honest, the place is currently operating at about 40% because not all the vendors have opened shop yet, and because of the obvious reasons we all know too well, you know, that is what makes the opening of the place so intriguing. You know,
we still can laugh.
It's interesting to see how it will develop in light of the falling ruble, the sanctions, the counter sanctions, the counter counter sanctions, and the struggling economy.
How's the renovation at your dacha coming along?
Well,
parlons d'autre chose. Has it been affected by the economy and sanctions?
No, Natasha. It was inspired by the economy and the sanctions.
Wow.
I want to make sure I'm ready and have a comfortable place to watch the world around me go up in smoke. The foreman was there along with the guy from the window factory taking measurements. Installation will take place next week along with the new central heating radiators. I also plan on upgrading my satellite television system and buying some new furniture. I'll keep you all updated if you care, of course. You can already see a few photos from the house at our Facebook fan site. Work will soon start and you will have direct access to all that's happening at Vasily's Dacha in our special feature, The Renovation Report.
What was the other thing you wanted to mention?
Oh, that's right. It was an exhibition boxing match in Moscow between 62-year-old American actor boxer Mickey Rourke and 29-year-old Elliot Seymour.
Oh, boy.
The whole thing is so strange that I decided to let you do the talking and left a link on our Facebook fan site. Eric Hominick writes, "Not surprised, Rourke is friends with Vladimir Putin, so..."
Wow.
My question is he really that close with the Russian president? I did not know that, as Johnny Carson would say. Also, Dale Dickerson says, "I hope the man can use the money for a place to live. Otherwise, it was a PR event and did not mean anything to me. I like boxing, but not this type of thing." And Keith Perron says, "It's just entertainment."
Really?
You can leave your comments on our Facebook fan site at facebook.com/FromMoscowWithLove. Right. Coming up in the second segment of our program, we have quotes from our Russian teachers. news from Moscow's Anglican Church. And, of course, your letters, comments, which reminds me to remind you right now of our email address, which is moscowwithlove@gmail.com. We're off for a short break. Don't touch that radio or computer or whatever it is you use to listen to us. We'll be right back. This is From Moscow with Love on Radio Sputnik. This is From Moscow with Love, time for our brand new segment, Quotes from Our Russian Teachers, where we recall some of the unique things our Moscow school teachers used to say, hoping to make a point. Here's an excellent one. If you are so smart, come sit in my chair and conduct the class, and I'll sit in your chair and giggle.
Our teachers kept repeating it and thought they were incredibly witty.
Yes.
I was a great giggler and heard it practically every day.
You know something? Teachers in general think they are very witty.
Oh, yeah.
See how this connects with the next quote.
Что смешного? Расскажи всем нам, а? Вместе посмеемся.
What's so funny? Tell us and we'll all have a good laugh.
A sarcastic remark aimed at a student who is discussing something funny with his friend.
Mm-hmm. Оценку вам на двоих ставить? Hey, you two, you want to share that mark?
Another sarcastic remark, meaning the teacher has caught you red-handed cheating. Was Do you remember the record book with the school timetable where we were supposed to put down our home assignment?
It's called the Dnevnik or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's also where the teachers wrote their marks and scores
right.
And also direct messages to our parents after
exactly.
We screwed up. And yes, the student's logbook, which according to our teachers was the face of the student. How can I forget?
Oh, they don't exist anymore.
Aww.
They were abolished last year and replaced with electronic logbooks that malfunction most of the time and only add to the overall mess. But in our time, the former existed, and some of the reprimands in them were real masterpieces. The pages in my record book were usually bright red from the words misbehaved, giggled, chatted, talked back, read a book instead of listening to the teacher, and finally, a real gem, merrily stared back at the teacher with her arrogant eyes.
Oh, yeah. There was one I will never forget. It was at the embassy school in D.C. This was in the early 70s. It read, "During recess, threw apple out of window, hit policeman on the head, almost caused an international incident." Yes. Listen, if you out there remember some funny, stupid, original remarks you heard from your teachers, please share them with us on From Moscow with Love. Our email is moscowwithlove@gmail.com. And there will be more quotes from our Russian teachers next week. This is From Moscow with Love on Radio Sputnik and WRMI. Great news for worshippers at Moscow's Anglican Church. You remember we spoke about it many times on the show, and Natasha used to attend services very often, right?
The old chaplain, Father Simon Stevens, left Moscow last June and volunteered to serve on the Solomon Islands in the Pacific. I do miss him, and we exchange letters from time to time. And he promised to reappear in Moscow next Christmas, and I still hope that we'll probably interview him when he comes here to Moscow again.
Yeah.
Now, Father Simon strikes me as a real servant of Christ. Now, just imagine to give everything up, turn your life upside down, and go live in an entirely different part of the globe, in a different climate among strange people, a true pilgrim in the name of God.
Yes, well, turning to today, a former British Army officer in the North Atlantic Treaty Organization is the new Anglican chaplain in Moscow. Clive Fairclough spent 20 years serving in NATO with two tours of duty in Northern Ireland, but nevertheless considers himself a peacemaker. He is currently busy studying Russian and researching the Orthodox Church. The St. Andrew's Anglican Church in Moscow is the only Anglican church in Moscow. It continues the tradition of Anglican worship in Moscow that started in 1553 when Tsar Ivan the Terrible allowed English merchants to worship according to their own beliefs. The church in downtown Moscow was built in 1883. During the revolution in 1917, the church tower was used as a machine gun post by the Bolsheviks. The church was confiscated in 1920 and the chaplain expelled from Russia. In Soviet years, the premises was used in a variety of ways, including as a recording studio. That's thanks to the wonderful acoustics. And that was, you all remember the state record company Melodia?
Oh, yes.
Services resumed in 1991, and during the visit of Queen Elizabeth II on October 19, 1994, the Russian government officially returned the building to worshippers and the Anglican Church. Clive Fairclough said the church would be hosting a number of new events this winter, including Scottish country dancing. Scottish country dancing,
that
Natasha.
Must be something.
Check that out.
Yeah, we should go and see it.
And if you're interested, do visit the Facebook page of the Moscow Anglican Church. It's facebook.com/Moscow Anglican. This is From Moscow with Love via Radio Sputnik and WRMI.
For all the latest news and information about us and our show, visit our Facebook fan site at facebook.com/FromMoscowWithLove.
Browse through a gallery of old pictures from the golden days of radio, shortwave radio, that is. There's Joe Adamoff, Carl Yegorov, Boris Belitsky.
And there are new pictures from a recent photo shoot in this here studio.
And you can leave a comment or suggest a topic for a future broadcast.
Or simply like us like Dima Smirnov and Simon Gda did.
Thanks, Dim.
Did I pronounce the word?
I hope so.
Correctly?
Thanks, Dim. Thanks, Simon. Welcome along.
Linda Hastings Marotta. Hi there, and you're most welcome.
Michael O'Neill in London says, brilliant station and great program. I'm living in the UK, but from Australia. Your program is full of good information. Oh, and I have a Sony ICF SW07. That's 07. That's how I receive you on shortwave. Excellent radio, Mike. I've always wanted to get one of those for my collection. Thanks so much, and welcome along. Also, we say come aboard to Leon Henderson, who writes, hi, Natalia Stefanova and Vasily Strelnikov. Radio Sputnik is excellent, and I really like your Moscow with Love program, and thank you very much for it. Most kindest regards, Leon Henderson.
Thanks for listening and for the kind words, Leon.
Oh, check this out, Natasha. Misty Dawn has tweeted, Radio Sputnik? Interesting name choice. Well, guess it's better than Voice of Russia, or Radio VR. I mean, Radio whatchamacallit.
Again, quoting Shakespeare, a rose by any other name would smell as sweet.
Mm-hmm. And we're on Twitter, at FMWL Show. Natasha, have we heard anything from Sputnik Control about the download issue on our archive webpage at sputniknews.com/radio?
No, boss.
Well, let us assume the Sputnik scientists are working round the clock to fix the download issue. In the meantime, my old friend, Professor Boombox, also known as Ian Gilman, seems to have found a way around the problem. Listen to this carefully and take notes. I have found a way to download the show, writes Ian. It involves creating a local HTML page with a link, finding the link for the MP3 file in the live page, pasting it into the local page, bringing up the local page, and then right-clicking on the link that you just created. Easy, really.
Ingenious.
Indeed.
Still, if you are new to this show, catch all the previous episodes at the Radio Sputnik website, www.sputniknews.com/radio. Another way of listening is by good old shortwave via WRMI in Okeechobee, Florida, the United States.
Yep, the program is on the air at 0400 Tuesday on 9955 kilohertz. Also at 1000 UTC on Wednesday on a frequency of 5850 kilohertz to North America. In any case, let us know if you hear us on shortwave. It's also interesting. It's always very interesting to know how reception is and where you are, what's your QTH and whatever. I'm curious. Let me know, please.
Our email is moscowwithlove@gmail.com.
Before we go this week, since From Moscow with Love marks 4 years on the the air, I was looking back and wondering, what is the most important thing you learned during all this time, Natasha?
Patience and tolerance, dearie.
Exactly. I have also rediscovered that there is a fine line between personal and professional relationships.
And?
I'll stick to professional. That's it for another edition of From Moscow with Love. Thank you very much for listening and for supporting this program.
Hope to see you again next time. Till then, take care.
Stay safe.
And до свидания.
Now then, where's my flask?